Thanks for listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast. If you're a small business owner and you love this podcast, then you definitely want to check out our Entree Leadership Master Series event. Dave Ramsey personally teaches this event here at our office in Nashville, Tennessee, so you can meet with our team and see behind the scenes of how Dave runs his business. Registration is open for the next event the first week of November. Check out EntreeLeadership.com to get your seat locked in today.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. My name is Chris Hogan, and I'm excited to host another great episode for you today. On the last podcast, we were talking to Rick Perry, Dave Ramsey's Human Resource Director, and we talked about hiring. And we got so much good information out of that talk, we decided to ask him to come back. We want to dive deeper into this thing called culture. I'd like to welcome back to the podcast Rick Perry, our HR guru. How are you today?
Chris, I am in a studio. I have a headset on. I am being interviewed and having a conversation with the Chris Hogan, and this is outside of my comfort zone. And we're going to talk about a subject, culture, that is about as wide and deep as your voice.
And it's pretty big.
I looked last night at all the guests that you've had and all the other folks you've done a podcast with. I am not as funny as Johnny Cuff.
Well, no.
Okay.
No.
I just want you to know
that's
right
hard to be.
Okay.
Rick, around here, we talk a lot about culture. If you would, take a moment and explain what is culture and why it's so important.
Okay. I'll give you a couple of perspectives. One is why it's important to me. I grew up on a farm. Have you been on a farm? Have you met some
farmers? I've worked on
farmers?
A farm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you say that they're kind of a different, the way they behave and do things are a little bit different?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And where that comes from is they're spending a lifetime focused on cultivating. If you look at the word culture, you'll see that cultivating is a part of that. It's a farm definition. I grew up on a farm. So therefore, what I learned working in that culture influenced me to the point that the person you're looking at right now and you're conversing with has been directly influenced by my exposure to the cultures that I have lived in, okay? Mm-hmm. And if I had to put it into kind of a graphic format, I used to be amazed every time I wake up in the morning after a strong, strong storm that night and go, wow, that big oak tree is still standing. And I go, why is it still standing where that little sapling over there is gone? And what I realized was the root system of that big oak tree was so strong that it was able to withstand all the forces of nature there. So when I think about culture, you've got your root system. You can't see it, but you know it's there. Those are your beliefs. Those are your core values. Those can never be compromised.
Mm. So even in difficult times, trying times, those core values are there to stay.
Actually, in the difficult times are where they're the most comforting to the leader.
Okay.
Explain that
to me.
Well, in tough times, we want to operate out of fear. And so one of our core values here is fear doesn't get a vote, okay? We don't make decisions based on fear. Dave will tell you that. We're going to stop. We're going to take our time. Maybe a rough time. Maybe unusual circumstance, whatever. But we're not going to operate out of fear, okay? So when you're in one of those periods where things are tough, you have a tendency as a leader to give a little bit on your core values. Guess what? When you do that, you are compromising your core values, and people see it.
So if you have core values, you've got to have courage.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. You've got to be able to state what they are right off the cuff. You've got to be able to, when you look me in the eye and you say, integrity is one of our core values, that I see in your eyes in your soul that you really mean that. And then the next time I see you make a decision, I'll see that integrity was at the base of that decision.
Rick, as you talked about the tree analogy, I was sitting here thinking about how important the roots are to the tree. And you said the roots are the culture. You know, those are the things that are pulling in nutrients from the ground to really nourish this tree. If the nourishment is coming in, I'm at some point going to have to protect this culture. What are things that I can do to protect it?
Well, the first thing is going back to the people that you want on the bus with you, in this business with you. You've got to bring in people that are going to embrace your core values and your beliefs. If you don't, you're not protecting your culture. We had a concern as we grew as an organization that as we brought more and more people into the organization, that we'd start to lose the culture. And what we have found is actually as we have grown, we have a larger team of people who have the same core values, the same beliefs that we have, who are now helping us protect the culture. So it worked the other way around. So Wow. We're more comfortable now that our culture is being protected, even at 370, because they come in and inspire us and go, wow, I can't believe you guys don't have no gossip. I love that. And then we actually, at the end of 90 days, we deputize them. Dave says, you are now deputized to not necessarily be a consumer of wow moments, cultural moments at Lampo. You're now deputized to go be a producer of that. So one way you protect it is just the people you bring on board.
Wow. And so obviously that goes back into the hiring and taking your time and look for the right people. But I like that invitation to be a part of the culture. I like that thought that you're inviting people to come join the party, you know, come be a part of this, as opposed to trying to make them, because they do have a choice.
Yeah. But again, back to the fundamental question about how do you protect it? I mean, that's one way. Obviously, you're going to have people. The next way is just you got to stand your ground as a leader. You got to make some hard decisions. Sometimes you may have to let someone go. You like the person. You know it's it's going to influence their family in a negative way or whatever. But you've got to make that hard call that it's not about whether I like you or not. It's about your behavior is not consistent with this company's culture and our core values and our behavior, so therefore we love you, but you can't work here. And so those are hard decisions that are made by leaders that help protect that culture. So it's hiring the right people, but it's also letting the right people go.
Well,
so
another thing that I've seen affect cultures of business owners and people that I sit and I've talked with is unresolved conflict.
Oh, absolutely.
Now that can be a silent killer, can it?
Absolutely. We basically have an operating principle here. We really just jump on a problem when we see it, because if you allow it to sit there, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So you have to attack a problem very quickly. But again, we don't try to burn people in the process. We try to shine light on the problem and resolve it. And we know we've got to do that and do it quickly. So if we see evidence of an entitled mentality kind of behavior, if we see gossip going on or hear gossip going on, we have to attack that quickly. Because if, as a leader, if you don't attack that quickly, the perception is it's really not that important. So you're basically conveying that, yeah, we've got this core value of solving problems quickly, unresolved conflict, we take care of that quickly, but I don't see that happening. So
it's almost like with our kids, where you give silent approval.
Yeah.
If you don't address it, then you're approving it.
You're approving it. Yeah.
Right.
You're making a decision. You're approving that. Right.
There's another area that I think that can attack culture, and that is lack of a shared purpose. I think if a leader, and you really talk about putting the onus on the leader to be upfront and honest about the direction and the core values that you're going, the direction that you're going with those core values, that shared vision, the leader has got to communicate that often with their team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, communicate the core values, but communicate the vision of the company frequently. I mean, I'm talking about weekly, daily, et cetera. And using practical examples of things that are reinforcing the vision, reinforcing the core values, mm-hmm. as well as attacking those issues that you're seeing that are being counterculture. So it's two things. I mean, the positive aspect is reinforce it. When you see it, call it out. Hey, I saw Joe do something that went way above what we would normally expect, and I want to call it out as an example of he has a passion for helping people, and he did this, which was over and beyond the call of duty, and we're pointing that out. We're shining light on that, going, wow, that's a behavior, an example of someone who's taken a core value and really turned it into a behavior that is reflective of that core value.
Which is really important. Yeah, yeah, because you talked
about... Most leaders want to jump on the things that they see that are not right.
And that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That you are obviously addressing things that aren't right, but my goodness, you've got to shine a light on it recognize the things that are right.
Absolutely. We have a tendency, if 100 things, 99 things go right and one thing goes wrong, we're going to jump on that wrong thing and hit it hard. But we've got to really balance that with the positive light shined on the things that are we're doing right and things we're doing to enhance the vision of the company and the culture and all that.
Yeah, one of the things I can remember in Entree Leadership is there's a slide and it says catch people doing something right.
Absolutely.
You know, and I immediately think of the neighborhood watch example, you know, where you're trying to protect the neighborhood. But imagine looking for people doing things right. And if you're on the spot to be able to reward them and recognize them, it does something to people's hearts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it goes back to, you know, one of our core values is excellence in the ordinary. People doing ordinary things, but doing it with excellence. And we go, hey, let's catch that, capture that, recognize them for that. Let it shine before the whole team as here's an example of what we're talking about. Because if you go ahead and start talking to your team about core values and operating principles and things like that.
That's stuffy.
Oh, yeah, it's stuffy.
That's stuffy.
But if you can point specifically to something that has happened, a behavior. That's why Dave, when we do the staff meetings and all, he loves reading the emails from our customers, from our vendors, from people we deal with every day where they say that someone in customer care did this. They mm-hmm. didn't have to. It was not even expected, but they did it. And so and he just reinforces the core value with that example. So,
Rick, if you would, as we've talked about core values and their role in being very essential in establishing a culture, if you would, could you tell our listeners what are our core values here at Lampo?
Okay. One would be excellence in the ordinary. Around here, average means excellence.
Okay.
So that's one. Another one would be we shoot our sacred cows. Okay. What that basically means is we don't do things just because we've always done those things that way.
Okay.
So if someone can't answer the question, why are we doing this way, it's a sacred cow, we shoot it. A crusade mentality. It's one of these, if you either love it or leave it. If you're not passionate about what we're trying to do, the why underneath the company, then you really don't need to be here. QBQ is one of our core values, and that means the question behind the question. It comes from a book that we require all of our team members to read when they come on board with us. And it basically means when a problem occurs, when a negative occurs, you never try to blame someone for that or point fingers at people that may have caused that. Your job is to look at that problem and go, what can I do to help resolve that problem right now? No gossip. We all know how poisonous gossip is in the organization. So one of our core values, we just don't have gossip. So anything that you have, and you will have a negative, you take it to your leader. And that's what leadership is supposed to do, is solve that issue, solve that negative, and solve it quickly so that it doesn't go unresolved. I mentioned fear doesn't get a vote here. We don't operate out of fear. We don't make decisions out of fear. Fear doesn't get a vote in that process. We're not here for us. It's not about us. It's not how good we can do a podcast. It's not how good we can program something. It's not how good we can market something. We are not here for us. It is not about us. It's always outwardly focused to the people we're trying to help. So those are some basic core values we have here that we operate with every day.
Say you have somebody that does have the intersect with the Entree leadership principles, mm-hmm. what Dave teaches and what we embody. If they were leaving one of those events and they go back and they begin to assess the culture that they're in, what are things, proactive things they could do to impact their culture?
Okay. Let me throw a caution flag here, because it really does bother me when I'm sitting in Entree Leaderships and I see a high D personality who on day two has already sent flowers back to the office apologizing for all the changes that's coming. Okay, that bothers me.
Yes.
Because they're in day two and they hadn't even put it all together. They don't have all the pieces of the puzzle together. So one of the things that I strongly advise leaders to do is, first of all, understand all the pieces to the puzzle as far as culture. In other words, do you understand what your core values are? Are they clearly defined? Are they written down? Are they agreed to with your leadership team? Once you get those, then you can basically go, hey, let's take a look at all the systems we have in place. Let's look at all of our operating principles, our runway lights, and how we solve problems and how we make decisions and how we communicate. Let's check them. Let's do an assessment against how we really do stuff now versus our core values. And automatically they're going to go, wow, we're really out of bounds here. We're out of the runway lights. We need to do something about that. Then start making some very strategic choices about systemic changes they want to make. And it may be how they recognize people. It may be how they pay people. It may be, hey, gosh, I like that no gossip. We want to try to put that in place and all that kind of stuff. But we know we got to put a communication system in place if we're going to have a no gossip kind of thing. So they start doing that and being strategic about how they start building the culture that they want to build.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the behaviors. You can do a quick behavioral assessment. Just look at the behaviors of your people and go, which ones are behaviors that I like? Which ones are poisoning the organization? Why are they behaving that way? And then trying to go back and put something in place to start altering those behaviors. You don't go back and say, hey, all your people are all messed up. They're behaving badly or whatever, so we're gonna start firing until morale increases, kind of a thing. No, you're not gonna do that. You're gonna go back and go, hey guys, guess what? We as your leaders have messed up. We haven't. Part of the problem is us. We haven't clearly defined our core values. We haven't clearly learned how to communicate, solve problems, and all in a way that's consistent with the core values. And so we've done an injustice to you. We've been unkind to you. We're going to work on ourselves, and then we're going to start doing things differently. So that next decision they make, they go, hey, we're not going to do it the way we used to do it. We're going to go back to this core value or a set of core values, and we're going to decide, do we want to make this decision differently? Do we want to solve this problem differently? Do we want to communicate Monday morning with our team differently? So they start doing that, and people go, hey, what's up with leadership?
Hmm.
They're different. They did it this way versus this way. And then the leader can come back and go, well, the reason we did that is because our core value that we haven't articulated is this. And we realize we're not solving problems the way that we should be and behaving as leaders the way we should be. In doing that. So
that's a lot of great information.
Yeah. So you don't have to go you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater kind of thing. You can go back and start simplistically start to work on the things that you mostly do every day, which is you're communicating, make decisions, solving problems. I mean, we do that every day. That's what leaders do.
Rick, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, for you to share your wisdom on these areas and your heart and your passion. I truly appreciate you taking the time, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy it as well.
Thank you, Chris. It's been an honor being with you, and I hope someone gleans some wisdom from this and that can help them in their business and really their just walk of life.
I'm sure it will. I want to remind everyone, Rick Perry is one of the leaders that you'll have a chance to interact with at our Entree Leadership Master Series here at our headquarters, November 3rd through 9th. If you want more information about this or other Entree Leadership events, go to EntreeLeadership.com or call us at 888-227-3223. Now, we're honored to have John Felkins, one of our Entree Leadership coaches, with us here in studio. John, how are you?
Thanks. I'm great. Appreciate it. And I'm honored to be here, Chris.
Well, listen, this culture thing, I know you're on the ground with individuals. You're hearing a lot of things from people that are out there. What are some of the things that you're hearing about with culture?
Well, to be honest with you, it's all over the board. People want to know, you know, how we do hiring, how we deal with problems in the workplace. And one of the things that's so awesome about getting to work with Rick is he's really developed some consistent approaches to deal with these things. And so while a leader can't manufacture culture and control it themselves, what they can do is they can take a longer view and really invest in their company and develop their people and get this collective attitude and belief and behaviors from their team that's what they're looking for.
Interesting. So you're telling me a leader can't create a culture?
A leader can't, I like to say they can't manufacture a culture.
Okay.
It's something that grows over time, you know, almost organically. But what they can take action on and be proactive and be very decisive on is the things that threaten culture. Because, you know, gossip or unresolved conflict, bad communication, all of those things, they can act on that. They can do something about that tomorrow. They can wake up and say, you know what? We're not going to have a culture of negativity in our organization, and the people that are negative are going to be dealt with. They can do that tomorrow, but then it takes time for the positive culture to actually grow on its own.
So you're really talking about defending culture as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, unresolved conflict, gossip.
Yep.
You know, if you get people in, if you get the right people in on that seat of the bus, you got to protect them now.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and it takes courage because none of those conversations are comfortable.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, they got to step into that.
John, in business, if you have people, you're going to have differences, and if you have differences, you're going to have disagreements.
Absolutely.
What are things that a leader can do to deal with disagreements?
Well, there's a few things that are really critical. Every leader's going to approach it differently, but there's some things that they've got to do. You've got to get the last 10% out on the table. You know, a lot of times we step into that disagreement a little bit and we halfway express ourselves, but we don't get the last 10% out on a table. And that's what festers and hangs around. So number one, make sure you get the last 10% out on a table. Then number two, be clear on what the objective is, not just the alternatives to get there, but that objective. Make sure everybody is on the same page with that. Fight for that until you get that resolved. And then the last thing is we don't have to agree down to the last little bit on how something's handled. But we do have to be on the same team, on the same page, aligned the same way around what our objective is. So we might differ a little bit on, hey, how we're going to get there, but we better be sound on and be on the same page on where we're going. Because if we're not, that's when we get problems that we can't resolve.
So I think that's strong, because now what you're doing is allowing people to be different.
Yep, absolutely.
But I like that, aligned.
Yep.
So it's moving in the same direction.
Yep. That's what you got to have. You got to be willing to die on that hill, but don't die on the hill of style or personality or just coming at it a little bit differently. That's people get wrapped up about that, and it's a waste of energy.
Those are great points, John. And we'd like to have you back. Can you come back again?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about whatever our listeners want to talk about, whatever's on their mind. So we're going to get them to send us questions at podcast@entreeleadership.com. You're going to be here, and we're going to talk.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Now, don't forget, head over to EntreeLeadership.com, sign up for the newsletter. As a leader, you want to keep growing yourself. You want to keep getting new information. We put a lot of information on there for you to help you in your business. Stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff so you can keep learning and keep leading. Until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profits. We want to take you out with something Dave said in our staff meeting just this week.
You have to be really careful this time of year. When you've got a vacation over there in the future waiting on you, you're getting ready to go somewhere right there, and or you just came back off of one, or just a great weekend at the lake or whatever where your brain is fried along with your skin or whatever, right? This is the time of year where everybody, you need some downtime, and you need to take downtime. The Sabbath is real. So on your weekends, recreate, recreate. That's what that's for. And make sure you're doing those things with your family. You're out there in the sun. You're doing things, enjoying yourself. Be sure you're plugged into those types of situations. But when we're here, we got to be completely here. Be present while you're present. The diligent prosper. Diligence is excellence in the ordinary over time. It's that little thing that nobody cared about, but you did it right anyway, because you actually cared about the outcome of the whole place. You cared deeply that someone's life is going to get transformed because you did what you were supposed to do. Do your work, 323, as unto the Lord, even in the summertime.